I'm Kelly Harrell, author, animist, and creator of The Weekly Rune. Soul Intent Arts is my soul tending practice, and you're listening to What in the Weird, my podcast in which I talk about runes, animism, soul tending, and death walking, and how all of those are in relationship on my path. In this episode of Working with the Runes as Verbs, we're working with Yera. Yera is year, a full cycle around the sun, and it encompasses our capacity to observe what has transpired in that cycle. In the calendar I work with, Yera is the rune of Yule. It comes in the season of winter solstice in the north, which is New Year vibes for many folks, close of the year for others, and it is that cyclicity that I have in mind for verbing Yera, to cycle. I approach Yera as harvest or hearth accounting 101. It gives very homey, hearthy vibes that all is well in the household, and for that I wouldn't shun to harvest as its verb. I feel like our modern perspective on harvest isn't expansive enough to do justice the context around it, which is largely land-based and seasonal. Harvest is generally a celebratory time. The resources are there. The work has paid off. The relationship between land, ecosystem, human persons, all of it is in good stead, and the balance of that relationship is producing rewards for all involved. The way I describe Yera in Runic Book of Days is, Yera is year in the understanding of the sun cycle. Dreaming, planting, cultivating, reaping, benefiting, giving, dreaming again. When Yera comes up in a cast, the emphasis of that cycle is the harvest or hearth accounting. In short, finally there's payoff. Yera comes at the time that we've reaped the benefits of hard work and find ourselves in a position to make choices in how we move forward with abundance and awareness. I think the big takeaway from that is at the point of Yera in the Futhark, we experience reward for our work. We had this hint with Ansu's that our agency has impact, but Yera really shows this through commitment to time and place space. We have the vantage point to assess what approaches to our work were functional, what ones weren't. We can employ new strategies. We can totally change tack and go in a different direction, take a totally different approach, or do absolutely nothing. That's the thing. We have the perspective to sit back, organically evaluate the whole dynamic, and make the decisions we need to in how we go forward. In this way, with Yera, we can find the tools that work, the ways of being that hold us, the ones that really meet our needs. What I find most significant in the seasonality of Yera, amongst the observations of close of one season, opening of another, is relationship to land. In a literal ancestral sense, harvest didn't exist without being in good relationship with ecosystem. When we talk about harvest, it's all about cyclicity, which is another way of saying sacred order. It's a focal point in the wheel of the year for which we can experience oneness through the reciprocity of land-based relationship. Even in a modern understanding of cycles, being relatively removed from nature, we still live in response to the seasons. Specifically in the time of Yera, our relationship to place space is front and center, along with embodying ecosystem and feeling that sun transition from darkness to longer light. In the festivities of Yule, we celebrate. We analyze, we plan, we consume, we thank. How we honor this season helps us feel aligned with sacred order. We feel one with place and timing, which is a deep honoring of cycle at the most divine levels. In Runic Book of Days, I call Yera a second wind. It's the gap season. It's the reprieve before spring, the time to get things in order to plan for the next year. What's interesting about Yera aligning with Yule for me is the conflict between that land-based cyclic pull to slow down with the settler culture shove to speed up. Yerta is the time to sit with the fruit of the year, to enjoy it as we close in on the dead time of winter. We need that holy space. Our dead need it too. They need us to do that work to remember, honor, and in some cases, release them. It's the time to behold our bounty as we embrace the shadows of the dark season. In fact, maybe we have a surplus of resources at that dark time so that we don't have to worry where food is going to come from while we do our death walking and shadow work. Maybe that's a built-in feature of winter that we don't get to partake in because our culture doesn't make room for us to. We're also supposed to have the reprieve to feel sustained while we brew possibility for what we may plant in the coming sun. Yet, culturally, we skip over that, and even maybe more sinister is we try to make all of the year the same. We neutralize season through grind culture. Go, go, go. Grind culture removes us from cyclicity. It lies to us and tells us we and our ecosystem are the same all the time, all year round, when in reality our every sense of place space screams otherwise all day, every day. There is no cyclicity in grind culture, because if there was, it would have to honor slower times, times of stillness and enjoying what has been produced. We can't yerra and grind culture. That fevered pace takes us out of place space, out of our ecosystem, out of our land-based identity. We really struggle with stillness and spaciousness, with what we perceive as open or vacuous. We've internalized that empty means inanimate, when really it means disanimate. Emptiness is still a being with presence. It is life force. And for that reprieve, after harvest, before planting, in the gap time of yerra, it's its own kind of time untime, when we're primed to experience spaciousness and even go one step beyond that, not rush to fill it up. We see openness, we feel it, and our immediate reaction is to fill it or to ache until we fill it. We aren't comfortable with spaciousness at all, and that fact, that deep gut-level stillness visits with yerra during the most chaotic time of year is telling. Everything seasonal is hibernating. It's redirecting its energy to the roots, to its unseen. Dormancy is yerra's activity. All we have to do is snack on the harvest of the year while we conjure up creative plans for the next. This tiny pause button may be the most important point of manifestation in our cycle of the year, and we don't honor it in American settler culture. I want to come back to the land relationship aspect of harvest and yerra, this whole hearth accounting thing. In order to plan for the next year, we need that gap time, right, to declutter and plan. But we also have to be really clear in our resources, which means really clear in our relationships. We have to know what our ecosystem can handle in terms of planting what we need or want to grow. And we have to sit with the realities of where maybe that just can't be grown right now. The land needs augmentation in order to produce. We have to know that relationship really well and listen to its boundaries in order to affirm our success for next year, for our next harvest. Or maybe the Almanac 8 Ball says, outlook not so good. And that means we need to draw on our dream team for help, literally and liminally. We have to identify and reach out to the resources that help us keep our ecosystem healthy and evolving. Again, literally and liminally. We have to be really in touch with cyclicity to do that. And we have to be comfortable with it in a way that we're willing to put down what must be sacrificed to maintain a healthy balance for the whole ecosystem. That kind of examination and service to community requires the right tools, which in relationship vernacular are allies. Another facet of yerra, harvest, shapes community. I think appropriate questions to ask around Yara are, how do we carve out the time to make use of it as a second wind despite cultural busyness? How do we make the space to celebrate harvest and meet our spiritual need to process the year? Like to figure out our dream team as we plan to go forward in a new year. The challenge of Yara is to be accountable to our own process. And humans don't do that when things stay the same. We're not good at initiating change. We get complacent and bored, even when we know the status quo isn't working. But what we learn with Yara is that we don't have to initiate change because ecosystem motivates change for us. It gives us cycles that prompt us to best behave in certain ways at certain times. In this way, in modern culture, Yara has some trickster qualities. It challenges us to realign ourselves with natural cycles that aren't easy to align with and maintain our place and pace in settler culture. That's something to think about. And now, at the recording of this episode, as we wobble into spring in the north, we're challenged with putting what we did with our Yara gap time into motion. Like, what's that looking like? How is the best way we spent Yara last season going to inform how we spend it this season? Wisp of light into the dark unknown, both are allies in my success. That's the Yara half-month affirmation from Runic Book of Days. We have to embrace our own cyclicity and that of our ecosystem. And Yara is an excellent teacher in helping us do that. Thank you for listening, especially to the Runes of Change community members who make What in the Weird and the Weekly Rune possible with their financial support. You can receive the Weekly Runecast by subscribing to the community on my website, soulintentarts.com, by clicking Join in the top menu. In the community, we're currently holding a monthly runes class called Runevertier and Landvertier, and current members will get a look at the galley copy of my upcoming book, From Elder to Ancestor, which, speaking of, comes out June 4th. It's available for pre-order now, anywhere you buy books, online, off shelves. You can find excerpts of it and posts on my website. If you have questions or insights about working with the runes, runic calendars, soul tending, or if you just want to drop me a line, you can do that at kelly@soulintentarts.com. That's K-E-L-L-E-Y @soulintentarts.com. Learn more about me, Runic Book of Days, and my work by visiting my website. I'm most often on Instagram @kellysoularts. Check out previous episodes and find detailed notes on this episode on my website under the menu option Learn Livable Rune Lore. The transcript of this episode can be found there as well. I'm Kelly, and this has been What in the Weird. Thank you for the harvest that you bring.